I'll speak from the second chapter, text number 7. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Panyadocho pahata svabhavaha prichami tvam dharma samuddha chetaha yasche asyam nischitam bruhitan me sishaste ham shadi mam tvam prapannam. How many don't know Croatian? Okay, you can read the Croatian and I won't read the English.
Немецки стих, ставите нам да приличаме такви особи, како бихме се освободили живот из проблема, кои се плавлям против наши жени. Они се споредили за шутки Божина, кои истия и кога ниско ни е подметно. Ситуација е тиму таква, да се живота не да че само появлю, премда и не желамо. Ниско не желе Божа, но има истия, изразивајачи у нама нели. Ветка на мудрост, то да ставите, да ради решаване живот из проблема и разминиране знаности и решения, речимо духовно учителю, кој припада ученичко наследство. Смакра се да особа која има миродостта на духовно учителя зна све. Зато не би потребали още избунени, материално не речено, već требамо прича духовно учителю. То е смисъл овога стиха. Кој човек избунен материално не речено? То е онај кој не скаче проблема живота. Каков е човек описан у Бригад Арани во Панишади? Йова етата шарам кардия ми ди Бил ли човек, кој ние виеше проблеми живота, кај лјуско биће и кој тако нас пусти во свет покут мача кај паста, без разумијања на окрасам отпознани? Лјуски облик живота представја најрастијани уплоткодна за живо биће, које га може искористити за решавање проблема живота. Тога оно кој на кој си правилно оприли кускатица. С друге страни, интелигентна особа кој користи од тело за решавање си проблема живота е Брамана. Я и там Акширам Гарди,
Басма Локат Прайти Сак Брамана.
Четвърте особа, трети на мрежа за обитие с друго и земја, трати свое време под утиска е материално спачене живота. Човек е често е за бъдете си живот, за жена директи с друго и обитие, бог позне болести. Виха на мисли да може да жити чалове за обитие с мрски, и лично да не негово обители грустно могат пак се кръсти. Ако биде сповеждан с нама за очерки от нежих животина, които са također бедно дети, будучи би разбори, Арджуна е могла схватки да се негова привърженост шамо на обители и жена да изащи, жена да изащи от смърти, ви ужас негова избуненост. Ви е приятен да се дужно се дева борите, но за биене слабости ние това мога учинити. Зато моят Господня Кришна, върховно да духовно учителя, да донесе конечно област. Предете Кришни као ученик и желе в кончите приседски разговори. Разговори между учителя и ученика са озбилени, и Арджуна сега желе озбилено разговарати с приказни духовни учители. Кришна е преобити духовни учители с наука Бхагава Гита, а Арджуна е първи ученик, кой е имал предишно славяти Гита. Како е Арджуна схватил Бхагава Гита, отлича писано само Гити. Помето с коме, Будава се сието на ученяци вижнявали да се не се мога правите Кришни као особи, već нерожена по Кришни. Нема разлика между Кришна изнутра и извана. Оне кој помоќа схватити Бхагава Гиту без такво разумевање, наречен е Будава.
So, some 5,000 years ago, just before the beginning of the age of Kali and at the end of Dwapar Yuga, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. The background is that at that time the whole world was known as Bharat Varsha. Not just India, but actually the whole world. Now, of course, today India is called by Indians as Bharat. This is in reference to a great emperor whose name was Bharat. The Kuru dynasty had been ruling the world for many, many years. And it was the Kuru dynasty was a race of very powerful kings. But they were faced with a major problem. In order for a dynasty to continue, there must be, the king must have a son, an heir to the throne. So the emperor at that time, his name was Shantanu. And by the arrangement of Providence, he had a union or an affair with the daughter of the Ganges, Ganga Devi, who was a demigoddess. So he had many sons from that union, seven in total. But right from the first son, Ganga Devi had taken the child and had thrown it in the Ganges and drowned the baby. So she did this after each son was born, up to and including the sixth son. There had been an agreement between Shantanu and Ganga Devi that she would stay with him as long as he did not question whatever she did. Now, the background to that drama goes back farther to the court of King Indra in the heavenly planets.
Pozadina ovoga večera nalazi se još dalje u nadvoru kralja Indra.
The seven sages or Vasus rather, they had foolishly insulted and tried to take the Kamadhenu cow of Vasishtha. Actually, I may be mistaken then. I'm not sure if it was Vasishtha or it was another rishi. But they tried to steal his cow. Their wives had said, "Oh, what a wonderful cow. I want that cow." So they were forced to go and try and get the cow from the rishi. So later on they were defeated by the rishi and they apologized. They were all cursed to take birth in the material world. But their leader, whose name was Biao, he was cursed to not only take birth in the material world, but he would have to remain there for a full lifetime. The other six were cursed, but they asked forgiveness, and then they were told, "All right, you'll be born in the material world, but you'll immediately be killed and you'll come back to the heavenly planets." So that's what Ganga Devi was doing. She was giving birth to those Vasus and then killing them so they could go back to the heavenly planets. But Emperor Shantanu didn't understand that, and finally he couldn't tolerate it any longer. He said, "What kind of a vicious woman are you, killing your children?" "At least leave me this seventh son." So Ganga Devi smiled and said, "All right, you can have the seventh son, but I will have to leave you now." And that seventh son was Bhishma. And he later became, he was known as Devavrata at birth. So he was taken by Ganga Devi in as a baby. He was trained up in his childhood by different demigods and different rishis, and he became very powerful. So finally, when he was a youth, about 16 years old, he was returned by Ganga Devi to Shantanu. Now, Shantanu was a pious king. And he did protect his kingdom. He was one of the famous Kuru emperors. So one day, while wandering about his kingdom to make sure that the law and order was being maintained, he came across the daughter of a fisherman. Her name was Satyavati. And again, he was very attracted to her. Kings were known to be in the mode of passion. So he approached the fisherman and asked for his daughter in marriage. In the Vedic scheme, the Vedic organization, there are two kinds of marriage. There's pratiloma and anuloma. In other words, a woman of a lower caste can marry a man of a higher caste, but a man of a lower caste can never marry a woman of a higher caste.
Drugim rječima, ako je žena iz niže kaste, ona se može udati za muškarca koji je iz više kaste. Međutim, ako muškarac pripada niže kaste, žene, brak između njih se ne može sklopiti.
So, she was a fisherman's daughter. She wasn't, externally, she wasn't a Kshatriya, although there's a whole story to Satyavati also. She was of royal background, but it appeared that she was the daughter of a fisherman. So Shantanu requested the fisherman, but the fisherman refused to give his daughter because he said that if my wife bears children, her children will not be given any importance.
I kada je kralj Šantanu zamolio ribara za ruku njegovu kćeri, ovaj to odbio jer je rekao, ukoliko moja kćer bude rodila djecu, nećeš mi predavati nikakvu pozornost.
Your other son will ascend to the throne and my daughter's children will be disregarded.
Tvoj drugi sin postat će sljedeći kralj, uspjeće se na prijestolje.
So if you want my daughter, you have to promise that her children will become heir to the throne. Shantanu loved Devavrata, and so he said, no, I've already installed him as prince regent. So he went away broken hearted. But then Devavrata learned of his father's lust, and wanting to satisfy his father in every way, he approached the fisherman. He said, please give your daughter Satyavati to my father. The fisherman made his objection. So Devavrata said that I will never take the throne. That is my promise. So then the fisherman was smart. He said, you may not take the throne, but later on your children may claim a right to the throne. So then the son of Ganga, Devavrata, said, you need not worry, I will never marry. And then showers of flowers fell from the sky, and there was a Akashwani, a voice from the sky, Bhishma, Bhishma. Here's a man who is as beautiful as King Indra. He's the most learned person in weaponry on the whole planet. He has a powerful body, immense wealth, everything a young lady could want. And he says, I will never have any engagement with a woman. That is a very serious vow for a Kshatriya, or for anyone. So then Satyavati had two sons from Shantanu. One was named Vichitravirya, and the other's name was begins with a P. Anybody remember? Don't remember the name, but they were both very powerful sons. The older boy actually conquered all the kings on the planet. He was very religious, and his fame spread everywhere. Not Pundarik, in the Bhagavatam there's one king whose name also is P. Come on, guys. Who? Poor, huh? Huh? No, 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 poor Rava. Huh? Yeah, yeah, he met Lord Shiva and Parvati and was cursed by Parvati. And He said, Narayana Parasarve, Krishna, Lord Shiva said about him.
Okay.
Begins with a P. Anyway, this guy whose name begins with a P, he was so powerful, but there was a Gandharva who had the same name, and he became very envious. The Gandharva's name also began with a P. What a coincidence. Huh?
This is Narayana Parasarana.
Yeah. I don't think it was Chitraketu. No, it's not that. You're right. That's who spoke that verse. But anyway, I'll let you know on Saturday. I can't remember his name. So this Gandharva came and said, look, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. You know, the gunfight at OK Corral, you know, Wyatt Earp and Billy the Kid, you know. You all know that story? So they fought. And they fought for 7 years. It wasn't a short, you know, 11 rounds in your TKO. It was 7 years. And this son of Satyavati, whose name begins with P, he was finally killed. Because Gandharvas are much more powerful than humans. Now, let's take a few steps back. Bhishma, earlier on, had acquired wives for Vichitravirya and his brother, whose name begins with a P. And their names were Ambika and Ambalika. There was a third daughter named Amba. But she had actually already given her heart to Shishupal. So when she was taken away in her Swayamvara by Bhishma, she was very upset. And ultimately she became Drishtadyumna, who was responsible for ultimately killing Bhishma in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So anyway, Mr. Puck is dead. And the Kuru dynasty now depends upon Vichitravirya. But Vichitravirya is a young boy, just about your age, and he's got this beautiful young wife, and surrounded by opulence, bhogaisparya prasaktanam tayapari tachetasam, he gets so involved in sex life that he actually gets tuberculosis. He becomes weak, impotent, his immune system becomes shot, and he gets tuberculosis and dies.
I pošto bio okružen sa ovom nekom ženom i svim obiljima, prijavno se zapravo u svom život, tako da je nakon nekog vremena da imunološki sustav nam potpuno se slabio, on je dobio tuberkulozu i napustio tijelo.
That's what happens when we overindulge in or engage in illicit sex.
To se događa osobama koje se pretjerano upuštaju u
So now there are no heirs to the Kuru throne. Shantanu has died. Shatavati's sons have died. And there are these two wives left, Ambalika and Ambika. So, it just so happens. Well, first of all, she calls Bhishma and tells Bhishma that this is an emergency, so you please break your vow and impregnate your brother's wife. That was allowed in previous yugas, that if there was an emergency, then Devarena Sutotpatim, the brother, could give a child to his brother's wife so that there would be continuation of the family tree. But Bhishma disagreed. He wouldn't obey his mother. He said, I have taken this vow and I must be true to my word. I can't break my word. So again, not known to so many people, Satyavati had, before she was married, she had a union with Parasara Muni. When she was a fisherman's daughter, she used to ferry people across the river in a boat and get money that way. But she, because she was from that family, she smelled a lot like a fish. That's not exactly the desired perfume for a young lady. So anyway, Parasara was one day crossing the river and he got an inspiration. that Satyavati was destined to become the mother of Vyasadeva. And Parasar Muni is one of the most famous sages in the universe. He's a very good friend of Narad Muni's. They often travel together.
Parasar Muni is a very good friend of Narad Muni.
They have the same magic carpet, and you know, they fly all over the universe. We have our traveling Sankirtan bands, and they have their celestial method of travel. So, Parasar Muni, in the middle of the river, he created an island. That's how powerful. I mean, he wasn't just an ordinary person having illicit sex or something. If you can go into the middle of a river and just like that create an island, then you can have sex too. And then he created a fog over the island, and he promised Satyavati that even though he would impregnate her, she would remain a virgin. Then Vyasadeva didn't have to wait around for 9 months in the womb. Very quickly he came out of the womb, grew up very quickly, and went off to the Himalayas. This also happens in the heavenly planets, that they don't have the same problems that we have with childbirth. Anyway, Vyasadeva was called Krishna Dvaipayan. Dvaipayan means island born. Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasadeva. So when Bhishma wouldn't agree, finally Satyavati called Vyasadeva from the Himalayas. Now, he was prepared to transform his body into that of a beautiful king. But he told his mother that if you call me immediately, I will come as I am. Satyavati was worried that there was no king, so she immediately called Vyasadeva, and he came from the Himalayas, from his austerities, and he was not attractive. Especially to young, beautiful, delicate women who are accustomed to living in palaces with silk and jewels, and etc.
a naroče se ne mladim svijetom i osjetljim djevojkama koje su bile naviknute na život u palači okružene spirom, dragoljima i ostalim.
So he agreed to impregnate the to Ambika and Ambalika. Ambika had agreed with her mother, her mother-in-law, and she was expecting Bhishmadev to come.
Ambalika
But when this man showed up in her bedroom with long hair all matted and covered with dirt, a completely black body, a big beard with mud all over it, she got a little shock. But Vyasadeva moved right in and sat down on her bed and impregnated her. She couldn't bear it. She closed her eyes. So her son Dhritarashtra was born blind. Satyavati learned that the child would be blind, so she asked Vyasadeva again to go to Ambalika. But Ambalika, although she had heard and was prepared for Vyasadeva, when he showed up at her bedchamber, she kept her eyes open, but she turned completely white with fright. So her son was born as Pandu, but his complexion was not darkish or anything. His body was completely white, pale. Not only white, but pale. Pale white is a kind of off white. It's not a clear, not a nice white. It's a dull white. So then Satyavati tried again with Ambika, but this time she called her maidservant who looked a little bit like her. Dressed her up with all her own jewels and silks and everything. And then she left and went somewhere else. So Vyasadeva knew what had happened. He's a Trikala guy. He could see past, present, and future. But still, he showed up at the bedroom of Ambika. And this maidservant, being a humble girl, offered respect to Vyasadeva, offered him nice food, worshipped him. So he gave her a son whose name was Vidura.
Budući je ova sluškinja bila vrlo ponosna djevojka, odala je poštovanje prijateljevi kad se je poslije nastavila i toga je on nije dao djecu koje je kasnije poslije Vidura.
Vyasadeva would not agree to do it again. He was blind, and a blind man cannot become emperor of the world. So by default, Pandu became emperor of the world, and theoretically his sons had a right to the throne after him. So the sons of Dhritarashtra, he had 100 sons, and the sons of Kunti and Madri, the Pandavas, were cousins. After Pandu died, his sons, Arjuna, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, they were brought up in Hastinapur and cared for by Dhritarashtra. Because Pandu had died temporarily, Dhritarashtra became the king until the Pandavas were old enough. But there was a whole lot of palace intrigue and petty politics. And the righteous religious sons of Pandu were cheated out of their right to be king or emperor. Because of that, the whole Kuru race was destroyed. Although they were all the most powerful fighters on the whole planet, none of the other kings anywhere could even challenge them at all. But because of internal politics, they destroyed themselves. Let that be a lesson to all of us. Petty politics is the bane of a spiritual organization. You know that word bane? B-A-N-E, the curse. So anyway, the Pandavas, being led by Dharmaraj, or the son of Yama, followed a very honorable path, even though they were cheated many times. Yudhisthira was always true to his conscience. He always tried to do the right thing, even if it might put him in difficulty. In fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil.
sam Krishna kaže Bhagavad Gita, onaj ko čini dobro pred
temporarily, a devotee may meet with disturbances, as the Pandavas did. But ultimately, they were victorious. So, it's just near the beginning of this major war where the Pandavas are trying to reclaim their kingdom, and the sons of Dhritarashtra won't surrender the kingdom, so there has to be a fight. The Kauravas have gathered together a huge army, almost twice as big as the Pandavas. But the Pandavas have a major advantage. They're being guided by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, just before the war is about to begin, Arjuna hesitates. He is a man of very good character, like his other brothers, and he sees on the other side his military guru, his respected elders, his relatives, and he decides that he doesn't want to fight. So in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a description of both the armies and who will be fighting on either side. Now, Kunti is the mother of Arjuna. Kunti was born, her father was King Surasena. Surasena's son was Vasudev. Now, Surasena had a friend, a king, named Kunti Bhoja. He was childless. So Surasena gave his daughter Kunti, or rather her, she was born with the name Pritha. She was the daughter of Surasena and she was given the name Pritha. But when she was given to be brought up by Kunti Bhoja, then she became known as Kunti Devi. So Vasudev and Kunti are actually brother and sister. Now Vasudev ultimately marries Devaki, and they have a child named God. Krishna. So, technically, Arjuna has a blood relation with Krishna. Arjuna is coming in the same family by hereditary line. Blood. Everywhere. Blood. So, in the battle, Krishna is acting as Arjuna's charioteer. Generally, those who are chauffeurs or chariot drivers or whatever, they're sudras. Taxi drivers, you know. But Krishna, who happens to be God, has agreed to become the... I can't say it. The sudra chariot... He's not the sudra. He takes the occupation of a chariot driver. So, in Arjuna, when he starts to hesitate about actually fighting, there's actually no way the war can be stopped. There have been too many insults and too many atrocities perpetrated against the Pandavas. Bhima has already vowed that he's going to rip open the chest of Dushasan, take out his heart and drink the blood. Draupadi has already been insulted in a most vicious way by Duryodhana, by Karna, by so many leaders of the Kauravas. She was not only dragged into the assembly in front of all the leaders and tried to be stripped naked, but at that time she was in her monthly course and she was dragged by her hair from the woman's quarters by Dushasan, who dragged her along the floor, and she only had on one cloth, and you know, she had blood on her body from the vicious way he was handling her, and it was incredible. So, Draupadi was actually a great devotee of Krishna, and there was no way Krishna was going to let the insult to her go unpunished.
Draupadi was a great devotee of Krishna, and there was no way Krishna was going to let the insult to her go unpunished.
In fact, it is said that the whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought because Draupadi was insulted. Such a chaste lady and pure devotee of Krishna was insulted, and therefore the war took place. Arjuna is hesitating to fight, and he gives logical reasons. He says that if I kill my gurus, I will incur sin. If I kill all my relatives, how can I enjoy the kingdom afterwards? If I kill all these powerful kings who are protectors of society, then there will be unwanted children because of no control in society. In fact, many of the reasons that Arjuna gave actually came to pass in Kali Yuga, came to happen in Kali Yuga. He was right. Many of his logical arguments. So then Krishna starts out the second chapter by chastising his friend. They're friends. They're related. And they've been very good friends throughout their life. He says, Kutas tva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam. Where from this hesitation has come? Where from this doubt has come in your mind, Arjuna? And are you just the Masvargyamakirtikaram, Arjuna? This is not the way someone of your stature, your family background, should act. This will only lead you to a bad reputation. Then he says, Klaibhyam mas magama partha naita tvai upapadyate. Kshudram hridaya dorvalyam tayak totishta parantapa. How has this hridaya dorvalyam, the petty weakness of heart, come on you? How have you become so foolish? In other words, Arjuna's in Maya. Then, after Krishna chastises him, again Arjuna repeats his arguments. He says, Gurun Ahatva hi mahanu bhavan. How can I kill my gurus, etc., etc.? Then at the end of that discussion, the essence of the first major point in the Bhagavad Gita is revealed at the end of that little dialogue. Arjuna feels completely bewildered. He realizes that he can't understand his problems by himself, that he needs help. And he realizes that up to now Krishna has been his friend and they've been talking in a friendly way. But Arjuna realizes that he needs someone to teach him the truth and to guide him in ways which he may not understand initially, but because of the relationship he will follow. So therefore we have come to this verse where Arjuna says, I can find no way to drive away my grief. And my mind is totally confused. I want you to now have a different relationship with me. I want you to become my guru. So this is a very major point in spiritual life. In order to make progress, we need the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, this is explained not only in the Bhagavad Gita in many verses, but in many other Vedic scriptures. It's not something that's optional. You know, would you rather have spiritual life with a guru or without a guru? Check one or the other, you know. Tad vijnanartham gurum eva abhigacchat. Abhigacchat. It must be done, there is no alternative. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu sreya uttamam. If one wants to understand the highest knowledge, then one has to approach a bona fide guru. Now, a bona fide guru, among other things, is someone who is coming in disciplic succession from Krishna. The process of spiritual knowledge is not one of ascending, but it is a descending process. In the material world, we are used to the empirical process of acquiring knowledge by using our eyes and ears and nose and tongue. And in fact, these senses are called the knowledge acquiring senses. Gyanindriya, the legs, the arms, the belly, the head, they're called karmindriya, or the working senses. So that doesn't work when one has to understand something that is beyond the limit of the senses. Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is called Adhoksaja, which means he is above the limit of the senses. You can't understand him just by your senses. But Krishna will reveal himself to you, if he is pleased with you, through the disciplic succession. The disciplic succession is the dynamic by which Krishna reveals himself, the system, the method. Name bhakta jana partha. One who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But one who says he is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, Prabhupada here talks about a kripana, or a miserly person. You get the human form of life, which is so valuable. You've been wandering throughout the universe for millions of lifetimes. You've already been a spider, a cockroach, a worm, a demigod. You already tried all the different flavors. And you haven't gotten the real satisfaction that the soul is hankering for. But in the human form of life, you have the ability to attain that satisfaction. It's a valuable opportunity. If you have something valuable and you waste it, you're a miser. And the opposite of a kripana is a brahmana, or brahma janatiti brahmana. A brahmana comes to know about Brahman, or spirit. The proper use of the human form of life is atato brahma jigyasa. So, in order to do that, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master and begin the process. We should understand that we are trying to please Krishna. Krishna says, take a spiritual master. It's not that the spiritual master is Krishna. Krishna knows how many atoms there are on the end of a needle. Millions. I don't know how many. Krishna knows, but here Prabhupada says that one who takes a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. He may not know how many goals Pelé scored in 1965. But he should know about Krishna. Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He has studied the scriptures and he can convince others. By worshipping the spiritual master, by serving the spiritual master, we are pleasing Krishna. Ultimately, our relationship is with God, with Krishna. But right now we are practicing. We cannot have darshan of Krishna unless our heart is free from lust, anger, and greed. In our present condition, we're not qualified to see the all pure, all loving, supreme, beautiful personality of Godhead. We now have the adhikar, we now have the opportunity, the right, but we have to take advantage of it. And this is the process. So, are there any questions? Yes, sir.
He said he has two questions because this book, in many things, he has already heard about the topics that he was asked. He's really the confused.
Yes.
Marco, мене занима. Šlo pravo, kad kaže Bhagavad Gita, da bi Marko uopće mogu duhovno napredovati i doći do Krišne, da mora prići vjerodostojnom duhovnom učitelju. To je stih 43.
He says that in 34th text of
434.
He says that Srila Prabhupada says that in order to spiritual advance, a person has to approach both of spiritual masters.
Ako je bhakta inicirani, znači ako ima brahmansku inicijaciju i guru ode iz procesa svjetlosti Krišne. Ako je recimo bhakta inicirani. I sad guru ode iz procesa svjetlosti Krišne. Kako taj bhakta može doći do Krišne ako ne želi uzeti reinicijaciju? Od vjerodostojnog duhovnog učitelja.
If somebody accepted Brahminical initiation and Brahminical initiation from a spiritual master who later on leaves the process and this person does not wish to take reinitiation, how can he fulfill this goal?
Well, from what I have read, from the works of Narahari Sarkar, the Jiva Dharma of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and even Jiva Goswami, it appears like reinitiation is a relatively important thing to do. Now, I'll give you an example.
The Mahā Mishra Sanchita on Narahari Sarkar, that in Jaiva Dharma, Chaitanya Jiva Goswami, but then from the Chinese, the reinitiation is which you know, I love that part.
In Bombay, we have very beautiful deities. At our Juhu temple especially, we have Radha, Ras, Bihari, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. So at the time of initiation, at the time of installation of the deities in 1978, when Lord Chaitanya was being moved from Jaipur to Bombay, there was an accident and the deity's leg was slightly cracked. Not many people knew of this. The home minister was coming for the opening of the temple. Many other state ministers were coming. Tens of thousands of people from Bombay. We had to go through with the whole process. So Lord Chaitanya was installed on the altar. But in the course of time, imperceptibly somehow, the crack grew. Until one day, Lord Chaitanya fell, or just about fell over into the hands of the pujari. And these are big deities, same size as these, only marble. Actually bigger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we had all been worshiping that deity so faithfully. He was so beautiful and we all loved him very much. But now we had to replace him. So we got another deity of Lord Chaitanya carved to look as close as possible to the old deity. And then we threw the old deity in the ocean. To this day, very few people know that we have changed the deity. And people come every day, we get 3, 4, 5 thousand visitors. There are many local people who are completely in love with the deities and come on a daily basis. We have not stopped the process of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. But we had to change the deity. So the spiritual master is like a surrogate Krishna, a practice Krishna. For those of us who can't see Krishna directly, can't talk to Krishna, don't have direct access because our heart is not clean. It is an advantage to have Krishna's representative who we can worship and who we can ask questions from and get guidance. Now, one may ask, can I not also get that facility from a Siksha Guru? Well, there are two things. One is that if we had just kept the old deity of Lord Chaitanya there and tried to glue it up some way and gone on worshiping, it would have been difficult for those of us who knew the problem. And again, the deity might break and cause us trouble later on. So if one allows his mind to maintain attachment for or even contact, in sense of just mentally thinking about, a fallen representative, that may cause disturbance, subtle disturbance in his progress.